The Hunt for 0 Point. That's the title of Nick Cook's new book about the secret world of anti-gravity technology. Cook is the aviation editor for England's highly respected military affairs journal, Jane's Defense Weekly. At first, Cook found it hard to separate anti-gravity fact from science fiction. But as he continued to hunt, he discovered a black world, a world no one would talk about, where ideas were a hot commodity and projects were referred to in code. The one thing the black and white worlds of anti-gravity research agree upon is the technology is out there. Cook told Steve Paulson, anti-gravity research is tied up in the concept of zero-point energy.
Zero-point energy is a field of energy all around us that is only minutely detectable, but it pops in and out of existence. It's electromagnetic energy that pops in and out of existence relentlessly and infinitely. And by that I mean it appears and disappears on all frequencies. So people think that if you can tap into this energy, it is a source of infinite power, so much so that one researcher that I was talking to about this field of energy said that conceivably a coffee cup contains enough energy in it to boil the world's oceans many times over. Now, we're not there yet, but this is the kind of potential these people are talking about.
Now, another phrase that's being thrown around is anti-gravity. How does that relate to zero-point energy?
I really came to this story down the anti-gravity field. I was researching this kind of taboo mythology area of anti-gravity. And as I came down this track, I butted up against the zero-point energy field because some researchers believe, and I stress these are pretty sane and credible individuals, believe that the zero-point energy field might actually be responsible for certain phenomena we know very little about. One of these, for example, is gravity. I always thought that we had a firm handle on what gravity was, what the causes of gravity were. We don't, actually, and we know Newton discovered what gravity is, but he didn't know, nor do we really know what causes it. And it may just be that this zero-point energy field is the thing which is responsible both for things like gravity and inertia.
Well, let's just speculate for a moment. Suppose that this kind of technology is harnessed, whether we call it anti-gravity or zero-point energy. What could happen? What is possible out there?
Well, what we're talking about here is manipulating forces of nature. You're talking about the ability to come up with, and this is actually what the researchers of the day and researchers now at NASA and elsewhere are saying. If you can tap into an anti-gravity force, you have a limitless source of fuelless propulsion. You are manipulating forces of nature to go where you want to go. And since, if it is related, as people think, to the zero-point energy field, this relentless background sea of electromagnetic energy, the potential there is vast and enormous. And I think that there are parallels to be had here with what was happening with the atomic bomb program back in the 1930s. Bear in mind that in 1939, credible scientists were saying that a bomb was impossible if you could fission from an atom. Of course, within 5 years, we know that the bomb happened and enormous levels of energy were released from it. And people say that we are on the cusp of a similar sort of era now with this anti-gravitational study and also with the zero-point energy field.
Can you explain how this would work? I mean, how would a rocket ship, for instance, go forward without any fuel?
I think there are a number of ways of looking at this. One is to have a look at what NASA is interested in currently. They have latched onto the work of a Russian scientist called Evgeny Podkletnov. Podkletnov, a few years ago, came up with a device which he said had the ability to shield gravity. The device was a rotating superconductor, and when you rotate the superconductor very, very rapidly and put any kind of object in the kind of foot-wide beam that is emitted from this device, he found that any object in that beam would lose up to 5% of its weight. Now, that got NASA's interest because they reckoned for every 100 pounds of fuel or rocket engine or rocket body that you are seeking to launch into space, you could cut your fuel bills by 5 pounds. Doesn't sound very much, but if you're doing that over long periods of time, and of course, if you can engineer the science into something a little more practical, then it becomes of interest. So that's the bottom end. At the top end of the scale, of course, if you are able to get enormous releases of energy, perhaps some kind of zero-point reactor in time, sucking energy from the quantum space that surrounds us all the time, then you have an infinite cosmic free lunch. You can actually, I'm tempted to say, get energy from nothing. Of course, it's not nothing. It's energy from this background sea of radiation that's been proven to exist around us.
And I presume that military officials would be interested in this kind of technology. What's possible out there in terms of applications to warfare?
Well, the military is interested. The military is always interested in breakthrough areas of technology. I mean, there are good breakthrough programs that we can look to see this. I mean, the bomb that we've touched upon already was, of course, one of them. Stealth was another. Radar was another. What interests me is that all of these breakthroughs had their origins in kind of pure physics and science. But the military is interested in this field. We've touched upon the Russian Podkletnov already. Last year, Podkletnov said that he'd refined his earlier experiments in gravity shielding, and by pulsing a very large electrical current through his device, he's able, he says, to come up with something called an impulse gravity generator, which throws a bolt of gravity-like energy out at or exceeding, he says, the speed of light. Now, you could dismiss this stuff as rubbish if it were not for the fact that Podkletnov, a respected doctor of materials science based both in Finland and Moscow, says that he is already achieving results. So, you know, that kind of performance, he says, is already being exhibited in the laboratory. And what's more, other people around the world are saying that they are coming up with similar results. And it doesn't take a quantum leap in imagination to see why the military might be interested in a weapon system that could throw out a bolt of gravity-like energy at force levels of around 1,000 G, 1,000 times more than the weight of the object that it hits.
And this is really a fascinating story, partly because so little is known about it, at least known publicly. And I know you've spent years trying to dig through sources, dig through material, to contact sources. Tell me about how you went about trying to uncover this whole black world, as it's called.
I've been very fortunate to have had a career in aerospace and defense reporting. And through my career at Jane's Defense Weekly, which is fortunately known by the military throughout the world, it's enabled me to get very close to people who know what's going on. And I've been lucky, too, to investigate some enormously exciting but very secret in their past defense programs. One of the most secret, of course, was stealth. Stealth grew out of technology really that appeared in the 1970s for application purposes. Interestingly, though, and in a parallel with what I've been investigating on anti-gravity, stealth has been known about as long ago as the 30s and was evaluated and explored both by the Americans and the Germans during the Second World War. But through the stealth program, I came to see how secret some things could be. Stealth fighters flew, for example, out of secret desert air bases in Nevada for the best part of the 70s and the 1980s, and no one knew of their existence. So people often say to me, surely it's impossible that secrets can hold for so long. Well, in my experience, they can hold for a long time. You need only look at stealth to know that stealth held for a very long time, even when it was when aircraft in squadron strength were flying around the US. And these were real aircraft you could throw a stone or a brick against and they'd go clang. So, you know, the parallels, I think, are worthy ones. And through these kinds of connections, I've been able to pursue the sort of story that has emerged with this book, The Hunt for Zero Point.
But this story becomes even more bizarre because it goes back to what the Nazis might have been doing. I mean, you've uncovered evidence that Nazi scientists were working on this kind of technology, trying to develop some kind of anti-gravity capability. And it gets into weird stuff like UFO phenomena. Let's talk about the Nazi connection first.
Well, as I was investigating this story, I became aware that sort of attached to the mythology behind UFOs and other stuff on the sidelines of this story, there were reports that the Germans had developed flying saucers during the Second World War. Now, of course, initially, this is something that you wouldn't want to touch with a barge pole. But the more I kind of moved into the anti-gravity story and saw that actually, you know, these achievable effects were being replicated in laboratories today, the more I realized that nothing actually should be taken for granted in this story. So when I started going back in time, so to speak, looking at what the Germans were doing during the Second World War, I began to uncover programs which are not covered in the history books, but are clearly there. And the evidence actually is there to see in archives, and many of the archival evidence is contained there in the book. But interestingly, I realized that actually what was happening here was a lot of this research was funded by the SS. And the SS, as we know, were responsible for some of the most ghastly war crimes of the Second World War. But they had this very clear remit as well to develop science and technology. And by the end of the war, it was the SS which had taken over the entire secret weapons program of Nazi Germany. So there is a very clear line of SS and German development here. The problem was it was buried behind the atrocious war crimes of the SS, and therefore very difficult to sift out fact from fiction.
From what you know, what is the state of this technology right now, or the research into it, of zero-point energy and anti-gravity?
Well, there are two sides to that question. I mean, the first part is what we can see happening in the visible or the white world of aerospace and defense development. There we have, for example, NASA efforts currently ongoing, which will seek to replicate some of these anti-gravity experiments towards the end of the year. There are then some companies which are interested in the field. To start at the low end of the scale, for example, there's a defense and aerospace contractor called Transdimensional Technologies, who are based out in Alabama. And you can look on their website. They have flown a device called a lifter. They flew it last year. This thing is, its lift is not explicable by contemporary physics, our current knowledge of physics, yet it's flying. At the other end of the scale, we have companies like Boeing and Lockheed Martin and BAE Systems, formerly British Aerospace here in my country, and they are all interested in seeking to exploit anti-gravity and other forms of barely explicable scientific phenomena to get us into that next era of flight. The total flip side of this coin is what is happening in the black world, in the classified world of defense development, and of course there we can only guess at what is going on.
Nick Cook is an editor at Jane's Defense Weekly and the author of the book The Hunt for Zero Point.